Hi, everybody. I'm Dr. Brian Artis, host of The Dr. Artis Show, and I'm very excited to bring this special edition of a podcast, which is a continuation of an interview, a couple of them we've done, but the previous one we had done with Morley Robbins. It left off with some things I thought would be really exciting to share with the audiences. And most people know Morley Robbins with his book, Cure Your Fatigue, and he's got a new version of that book coming out. He's got a new edition coming out, and he's going to be doing a, you know, multi-city tour, I just learned, which is going to be exciting. You know, as we, some of us age and decide we're in retirement age, we decide to get busier and do more things and travel more and speak more and educate more, write more, present more. And he's one of those guys just like me. All right. So we're going to dive more into copper. We're going to dive into more of what copper is essential to create and maintain at adequate levels. Something most of your medical professionals probably don't remember since their board exams in med school. And obviously, a lot of alternative healthcare professionals don't know much about this either. I've learned from Morley. Lots of people have learned from Morley. The book, Cure Your Fatigue, we've introduced to our audiences before, but I want to bring Morley back on. He is here with us. We're going to actually dive in a little bit more on the things he has learned, added to the knowledge he's already had about the incredible health benefits of copper, as we've all been lied to our entire life, only told one narrative about copper, which is copper is bad. It is toxic. It is deadly. No one should ever supplement it. No, you've been lied to, just like we were all lied to about the addictive nature of nicotine and the fact that it's only in tobacco. Nope, it's in a whole bunch of veggies. You're all learning that. It's been amazing and helped prevent a whole lot of people from ever getting sick during the largest health crisis on the planet that was orchestrated called COVID. All right, so we're going to dive into that. Let's invite Morley Robbins back to the screen, back to the audiences. Good afternoon, Morley Robbins.
Brian, it's great to see you. Thank you for the opportunity.
It's great to be with you.
Yeah.
Now, right behind you, you point back behind you, Cure Your Fatigue. It's got a whole different color there on that poster than your previous book. Looks like the whole thing's been
a whole different color, and it's much bigger. Can you see how big that is? We're talking about a textbook now.
That is a big book. All of y'all get excited. You're going to carry a book as big as that frame right there behind Morley.
Bigger knapsack. That's what people are going to need.
That's exactly right. Yep. Yeah. So Morley, bring us up to speed. What have you learned? What have you added to this new book? Are you excited about your new world traveling tour? You've got 8 to 10 cities you're going to be visiting here very soon. I'm very excited for you.
I'm going to be in Dallas in about 14 days.
Oh, rocket. Well, make sure you come hang out with me.
I know, right? I'll get you the exact date and location. It'd be kind of fun to have.
That would be great.
Chance to connect. So what we did, we took a slightly deeper dive on copper in the book, which is fun. We added a chapter on women's health just to enlighten people to the fact that all these women's health issues are all related to the copper-iron conflict, as we've discussed. We took some of the venom out of it, actually quite a bit of it. You know, in my early days, I was very accusatory. I've learned that it's just lack of education. It's just a rampant lack of education. And then I think we put together a really kick-ass set of footnotes. It was like 290 footnotes. And this is, they're in a form that, you know, you can now hand this book to a doctor and say, you want to learn about copper? Here it is, right here. And I've been doing that. I had occasion to give it to a colleague of mine who's a GI, very noteworthy GI. He held the book out. He said, I can't believe you can write a whole book on copper.
Yes, you could.
I said, if you take the time to read it, it's going to change your practice. So, very, very excited about it. But let me give you an example of you know, very recent event. A friend and neighbor, literally 100 yards that way, we hook up every morning at Starbucks and we do AI research. I mean, I despise AI, but he's more patient with it.
Everybody knows how I feel about AI too. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Listen, everybody, it's called artificial intelligence. It's artificial. It's not even real. It's called fake synthetic intelligence. All right, good. All right, just remember that. That's what it is, artificial. Okay, great. All right.
Well, yeah, another description of AI would be always incomplete. Yep. It's never complete. And so I was reading about proteins called integrins, and they hang out on the membrane of the cell, and they have a stick that goes into the cytosol, the inner part of the cell, and then a part that sticks out into the extracellular matrix. And they're making sure that there's integrity between the cell and the cytoplasm, or the cytoplasm and the extracellular matrix. So integrity, that's a big word. So I thought, okay, I wonder if copper has any relationship with integrins. And lo and behold, if you have copper deficiency, the production, the performance, the function of integrins goes south.
Is that where everybody's integrity is gone with copper deficiency? They've lost all their integrity, so they just lie to you and shame you and judge you. Is that where that comes from? Lie to you.
You're building on the scientific research. I commend you for that. Amen. So I thought, I turned to Steve and I said, Steve, let's game the system. We use perplexity. I said, ask perplexity. Tell me the top 10 environmental factors that undermine the performance of integrins. Boom. Within 3 seconds, we had this laundry list of 10 factors. And what was not on the list? No copper. Of course not.
AI hasn't scrubbed your book yet.
Yeah, I know, right? But I'm a little bit belligerent with AI. I said, didn't you overlook copper? It comes back. Why, yes, I did. So many of the articles are about non-copper related subjects, but I just didn't think you were interested in it. But yes, it's very, very important. I said, okay, go back and rank order from 1 to 10. What are the 10 most important? And copper came in number 4. And then I said, now don't ever make that mistake again. which I know it was. It's like 50 first dates. Every time you ask a question, you can go, I could come back to the question tomorrow, ask the same question, get the same answer, and we have to go through the same rigmarole. And I really worry about society thinking that this is progress. I mean, it's just true.
Yeah. I actually think that the entire setting up everything to go digital, be artificial intelligence driven, I think this allows the powers that run those systems to be able to easily delete truths from every part of that intelligence platform, and you will never see it. So instead of book burning, collecting books, capturing books, burning them, they can just click a delete key and delete all that information from your AI Gronk, your whatever it is you're using, whatever it is. They can just hit delete. No one's going to know about that. And you're not going to be able to find it.
It's a frightening new world. And I've got scores of boxes of printouts, but it's like, how do you distribute that in an AI world? But I use that as a caution for people to be careful that when they're doing this, what they think is progressive research, they've got to game the system around copper, because it will always ignore copper. Because the way Steve explained it to me was, if there are 100 research articles, and only 2 relate to copper, it's going to go after the 98. It's not going to go after the 2. Yeah. And it's going after numbers, not importance. Turns out copper is really important, as we've discussed, but that's not mainstream thought. They don't want people being aware of that. So a couple days ago, we were tinkering again with perplexity, and I said, there's a term that is very popular right now that I'm sure you're familiar with, called ferroptosis. There's apoptosis, there's necrosis, but ferroptosis, and there's also cuproptosis. They want us to believe that copper is just as vile as iron is. But ferroptosis is iron-directed cell death. And it really revolves around lipid peroxidation. Now, when you get into the research, it's very clear that there are 3 things that will stop lipid peroxidation in its tracks. Copper, glutathione peroxidase 4, and ceruloplasmin. Very well chronicled in the research.
Repeat that statement again. Those 3 things will do what?
These 3 elements will stop lipid peroxidation in its tracks. Got copper. Glutathione peroxidase 4, GPX4, and ceruloplasmin. And that's not taught. I mean, it's studied, it's just not taught. And so the question that we asked of perplexity was, what are the top 10 causes of death related to ferroptosis? I thought that was a fair question to ask. So what we did was we've developed a table, and when we're ready to take a look at it, I can walk people through it. But what we then did was say, okay, of those 10 conditions, what's a definitive article that proves that lack of ferrooxidase enzyme function from ceruloplasmin was causing the lipid peroxidation to build? Boom, we got 10 really impeccable studies. And then we said, well, okay, so we've got the, here's the problem. Here's the mechanism of action is lack of ferrooxidase. And so for the gearheads out there, what that means is that if that enzyme, the ferrooxidase enzyme, is not able to work with iron and keep it in the right valence, that iron is going to interact with the lipids on the membrane and create chaos, create lipid peroxides. And they're going to do it in the organelles. They'll do it on the cell membrane and what have you. And it's a very destructive process. And then I was minding my own business the other day and happened upon an article about multiple sclerosis, which is one of the most intractable conditions on the planet. It's a very debilitating. I had a conversation with a world-renowned neurologist pre-COVID, and he said, Morley, he said, I have two types of clients. I have stable and unstable MS patients. And he said, it doesn't matter what I do, all of the unstable ones die. He said, I think you know why. I said, well, I think I do. And at that time, he was very interested in doing a test of the RCP, and then the buzzsaw of COVID hit. We haven't gotten back to that opportunity. But the point is, MS is really devastating. And in this study, what they did, this was a study out of China and Australia. Ashley Bush, I don't know whether you know that name. He's a really big, he's MD, PhD out of University of Melbourne. And he's a big copper guy. He's a big neurodegeneration guy. And so he was working with some of his Australian colleagues and some folks from China. And they decided to do what no one had ever done, but administer ceruloplasmin. And what happened? They cured MS.
Wow.
Yeah. Go figure, right? So then that was in 2022. What really tipped me off that ceruloplasmin was important was it's probably about 10 years ago when I first found the article from 1959, where they were using ceruloplasmin to cure schizophrenia. People don't have, they're just not aware of how important this protein is. And so then the most important part of the article wasn't that they were curing MS. They told me the word code to do research. It's called ceruloplasmin protein therapy. It's all these searches, you've got to know the code.
Yes, you do.
If you don't know the right sequence of words, you're not going to get, the treasure trove is not going to open up. So they refer to ceruloplasmin protein therapy. So then we said, gee, is there a study that uses ceruloplasmin therapy to correct the insanity, the ferroptosis insanity in each of these 10 conditions? And lo and behold, there is. And so what we've compiled, and you've got it on your server.
Yeah,
but
I want to show you. So define again what ceruloplasmin is for the audience.
How much time do we get?
This is the definition, and it is copper dependent. It is essential. Okay, keep going.
It's the master antioxidant protein in our body. Now, everyone knows about glutathione. That's the master antioxidant in the cell. People have heard of melatonin. It's not a sleep aid. It's the master antioxidant in the mitochondria. And ceruloplasmin is the master antioxidant in the body. And what's noteworthy about ceruloplasmin is it's called a moonlighting protein, which means it can do more than one thing, which they very reluctantly will tell you. But I've identified at least 15 substrates that will work with ceruloplasmin. And there are 9 enzyme functions that I've identified. So it isn't just the ferrooxidase enzyme. It can do superoxide dismutase. It can work with copper to reduce it into a much more bioavailable form. It has amazing properties. And all we've done with this chart is lay out on the left, far left column, these are the top 10 causes of death due to ferroptosis. They're all noteworthy.
Can you zoom it out just a little bit so we can see the whole chart? At the top of your screen, you just zoom out just a little bit. You can see the plus and negative right above the word truth of ceruloplasmin.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks. It's not doing that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, never mind. All right.
It's not showing up the way it was before we started recording.
Totally got it. All right. Well, we'll just stick with this for now. And then we'll make sure that in our link here to this podcast, we'll make sure that this is the entire chart. I have a copy. We'll make sure it's embedded in the presentation in full.
Yeah. So the whole object of this table is so that people can see, one, that ferroptosis is in fact the mechanism of chronic disease. It's people will talk about oxidative stress, they'll talk about inflammation, they'll talk about all these different, signaling peptides, but the true harbinger of disease is ferroptosis that's caused by a buildup of iron accumulation. It's iron is accumulating in the cell, iron is accumulating in the mitochondria, iron is accumulating in the nucleus. And what we bump up against is the medical meme that we've talked about previously, which is you're anemic. Everyone's anemic, don't you know? And we're supposed to have a need more and more iron. Actually, we're drowning in iron. So the object of the chart is to show what are the top 10 causes of death? What are studies that prove that low ferrooxidase enzyme function caused the ferroptosis? And then right next to it are the definitive studies that prove that when you use ceruloplasmin therapy, you can reverse that. Now, why do I bring this up? Because we're not supposed to know about this. it's like this is a big giant secret. And we're not supposed to know about the ferrooxidase enzyme function. We're not allowed to assess it. There are 5 countries around the world, Turkey, Iceland, Russia, India, and I'm blanking on the 5th one. And so recently we were coming back from a trip from England, and we came by way of Iceland. I was so excited. I was finally going to get a ferrooxidase assay. Went to the hospital. I asked, can I get a ferrooxidase assay? Oh, yeah, you can do it. And so then I get to the actual window where you order it, and they said, well, do you have a doctor's order? I said, no, I don't have a doctor. Why would I need a doctor's order? Well, you need a doctor's. It's not just a doctor. It's a doctor who speaks Icelandic that can order that test. So there's always a catch. But the thing is, I think it's time for the public and the practitioners to learn that there's a completely different language of healing out there. That the, if you will, I think what ceruloplasmin represents is the Rosetta Stone between allopathic medicine, conventional thinking about the disease process, and Mother Nature. And the diversity, the complexity, the intelligence. I really truly believe that the innate intelligence resides within the ceruloplasmin protein. Again, it's to give people a concept of scale, insulin has 45 amino acids. It's pretty powerful. Peptide. Anything under 50 amino acids is considered a peptide. So 45 amino acids, fairly robust. Ceruloplasmin has 1,046.
That's a little bit more.
A little bit more. And it's designed to carry up to 8 copper atoms. A lot of controversy around that. When Holmberg and Laurel first discovered it, they were 2 Swedish physiologists, they very clearly identified 8 copper atoms in the structure. Cool. Then that was from 1948 to 1975. And then in 1975, it dropped to 7. atoms of copper. And that carried us to the year 2000. And then suddenly it dropped to 6. So from 2000 to 2025, we've been operating on a V6, when in fact we were designed for a V8. And I was reading an article just yesterday by another famous copper expert. Her name is Lyudmila Puchkova, brilliant scientist out of St. Petersburg, Russia. She's the individual who identified that ceruloplasmin is, in fact, attached to copper inside the matrix of the mitochondria.
Wow.
That's a really big deal. It's a very, it completely changes our understanding of the importance of ceruloplasmin. But in this article where she was describing a Parkinson's disease, she made reference to the fact that the binding properties of ceruloplasmin will grab 6 coppers and capture 2 additional coppers. So we're back to eight. And then what I've also read is that it can carry an additional 10 copper atoms in addition to that.
So a V10 version?
Well, no, it would be a V18.
Oh, an additional 10 on top of the 8. Oh, a V18. That's bigger than Rolls-Royce does right now and Pagani. I know, right? They only got V12s.
Yeah. V12s. So the thing is, why would Mother Nature design this protein using copper if it's toxic? It doesn't make any sense at all.
Morally, make it make sense. Yeah, this doesn't make sense. Yeah. So no, everybody's freaking out right now. Come on.
Well, no, but the thing is, it's hard to have an intelligent conversation. You know, there's people love to find out what's new, what's shiny, right?
You know what's new? Everybody thinks that the world is deficient in mRNA injections all of a sudden.
I know, right?
That's what makes people sick. We don't have enough mRNA injected inside of us. Okay, come on, people. Yeah,
come on. So the thing is, became reinforced, because when I had to go back and you know, when you get this is a mulligan, basically, you know, get to do it over. I went back to make sure, was I drawing the right conclusions? Was I being tight enough? And it's like, no, I'm not insane. This is how Mother Nature designed us to work. And what I really appreciate about you don't shy away from controversy. That's your middle name.
Bring it on.
But you also, you really understand this. You really,
really love it.
At a very visceral, intellectual level, you're like, this makes so much more sense. So,
I like common sense.
Yeah, exactly. And so, exactly, common sense. But the thing is, I find it.
Oh, also, Morley, they sell us that the sun's bad for us.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So that's actually. Real quick,
anything they tell us is bad for us. They're like totally ridiculous. Yeah, just avoid.
So one of my RCP graduates is a naturopath down in Australia, and her mentor down there is a 40-year veteran of chiropractic and naturopathic medicine, and he spent 30 years studying alchemy, the alchemy of copper and iron.
Love it.
His name is John. Really cool guy. He's my age, so he's, you know, really old guy.
Awesome.
And he said, you know, well, I think you'd really get a kick out of learning that copper has a magnetic attraction to sunlight. I went, wow, okay, that's cool. And he said, but it also has a magnetic attraction to ammonia.
Wow.
And I said, all right, so we're talking about the beginning and end of life. He said, that's exactly right. That's mm-hmm. that's the beauty of it.
That's incredible.
So I had this conversation probably almost 4 years ago. And so one of my colleagues, who you probably know, Martha Carlin. Have you ever talked with Martha?
Maybe. I actually think I recognize that name.
Yeah, she has a product called Sugar Shield. She's another citizen scientist. She's brilliant.
Awesome.
But she was digging into this issue about sunlight recently. And this was what she came up with, which is fascinating. I'd never found it, but it really reinforces what John was saying.
Oh, and distilled water is bad for you too. Even though all of our atmospheric water turned into rain is distilled water, and all of our vegetables and fruits make distilled water. Just so you know, you're being lied to like 24/7. Don't worry.
Absolutely.
And we will go learn the truth. The common sense says plants can't grow without sunlight or water. Oh, what kind of water does the earth give it that God designed and Mother Nature created? It's called distilled water. Oh, what's the light source? Sunlight. Okay, great. All right. So all of life requires sunlight, light, and water. But they tell you it's bad for you. And you should only drink Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Gatorade, sugar-laced drinks, juices. Yeah. Just so you know. I love the controversy. Oh, they also tell you salt's bad for you morally, but guess what's the first thing that 100% of all patients in every hospital and ambulance in the world is going to be injected with before an evaluation?
Yeah, you're going to get
9,000 milligrams of salt, which is 8 times what the American Heart Association tells you should have in a 24-hour period, or you'll have a heart attack or stroke. Just so you know, they're lying to you. They make more money off of salt than anything else. They just tell you to don't eat salt. They can create a deficiency world of salt, and then they can profit off of selling you salt and billing your insurance company for salt, which is what they do. 24/7.
I cannot find this. Oh, it's such a beautiful description.
Oh, Morley. Also, parasites don't exist in America. That's another thing that you're all going to be told, and the medical profession is taught in their schools. They're tested on. Parasites don't exist in America, but every dog or cat born in America has to be treated and evaluated for heartworm parasites, which are transferable to humans and have a zoonotic transfer tendency into every owner. But they don't exist in America. Don't be dumb. Don't be a dumb doctor and say dumb stuff. Common sense tells you you're dumb. Don't say dumb stuff. Think before you repeat. It's great.
How do people not? I mean, I hope people reject that out of hand because it makes no sense.
It makes no sense. All right. And then every animal in America that we eat, cows, you have to treat them with ivermectin and fenbendazole for parasites in America before they can sell you those things. And it has to be every month, every other month. I mean, they do it the whole time they're raising these animals. Okay, farmers, veterinarians, you know more than your MDs do. Don't be dumb. Don't be a dumb doctor. Don't be dumb. No.
Well, the way I characterize it now, I can't find the passage. I apologize. But a beautiful description of what copper does to light to make it usable.
Awesome.
It's absolutely fascinating. The way I describe ceruloplasma, I think ceruloplasma is the sunlight in our body.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really, I really want that article. Whatever you're looking for, please send it to me. I want to see it.
Yeah. But and then what I was recently at Weston A. Price and had a chance to actually, I was scheduled to meet with Secretary Kennedy back in June. That was supposed to take place. And as you probably know, the way it works is the schedule gets published a week before it's going to happen. And someone blew a dog whistle.
It was a squirrel moment. Squirrel.
And there were three big pharma lobbyists in the chief of staff's office saying, why are you meeting with this guy more than Robbins? And so the meeting got canceled. Hmm. So I was like, I mean, I put together a really cool presentation. I'm not being braggadocious. It was very, I thought it was a very thoughtful presentation. It's like, what am I going to do with this thing? Well, then I get this call.
Hold on just a second. I have a message for RFK. Hey, RFK, stop ignoring Morley Robbins' meeting. He's got a great presentation for you. Whatever your excuse is, you haven't done it yet, isn't a good one. All right, get with Morley Robbins. I know you're avoiding me, but don't avoid Morley.
Exactly. Okay. Maybe we can tag team him. But sure. So I decided I get the opportunity to present at Weston A. Price. I thought, I'm going to give the presentation that I was going to do in Washington. And just to see what happened. And what was so funny is after I'd done the presentation, three people came up and said, I know him. I'm going to make sure. I was like, we'll see. But it's really the whole concept is, are you familiar with a trim tab? Buckminster Fuller's trim tab? Okay. It's a really cool concept. So you know about the geodesic dome. I mean, the guy, he was brilliant. And so during the Second World War, he was working for the Department of the Navy. He was solving all sorts of problems. And what was happening was around 42, 43, the ships were getting so big, they couldn't make the engines big enough to turn them. Mm-hmm. The rudder, there was so much drag against the rudder, they couldn't turn the ships. And they come to Buckminster Fuller to solve this. So he says, okay. So what he did was, so if you've got a rudder, he made this part of it, like a tenth of it, a bevel. So it could bevel. And when the captain is trying to turn the ship, he's turning the trim tab, which then turns the rudder, which then turns the ship. And my whole premise was, ceruloplasmin is the trim tab. And what I was going to do is have, really say, I think that every doctor, doesn't matter what their degree is, should do the ceruloplasmin ferrooxidase assay. And they should get rewarded when it goes up as they do procedures to make it more bioactive, bioavailable. I thought, I was like, in one fell swoop with a little trim tab, you introduce one test, you would change the consciousness of the practitioners, the consciousness of the public, and you'd get better outcomes. I thought it was pretty clever. So
I like it.
So it's just you know, the thing is, we're not going to change the system, but I think we can tweak the system. And that's what you're all about. You have found very important, workable solutions to tweak the system in ways that no one had ever thought of, which I think is fantastic.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been a heavy lift because there's just so many opportunities to educate, inspire on so many nuggets of truth that are really, really powerful in transforming your life, your health, your outlook on life, and all your activities of daily living, which is maximizing that is what we're trying to do here for you. You are a incredible human being created by God on this earth plane once. Why in the world do you want to suffer, be lethargic, not have the energy and vitality to do whatever it is you want on this earth? It's a beautiful place, man. Go travel, go see, go create, do whatever you want. So Morley, do you have access right now to where you will be on your tour for your book tour? Do you have the dates? Do you have the cities with you?
I do.
You do?
I do.
Hey, you want to tell us where you're going to be soon? Give us some dates.
Can I go run and get it?
Yes. Yeah, go get it. Yeah. Go get it. All right, everybody. I encourage you. He's going to tell you where he's going to be. I may be able to attend the one maybe here in Dallas. So wherever he's going to be on his book tour, listen to these dates and times. And I would recommend you go learn from him. Go see him, ask questions, and get his book, Cure Your Fatigue. All right, buddy. Where are you going to be?
When I first started working, I was at a business meeting. And someone asked for my business card. This was back in the day when we carried a business card. And I didn't have my business card. Oh, my gosh. Like, not having my schedule. So November 11th here in Raleigh.
Awesome.
Downtown Raleigh.
Is that North Carolina?
North Carolina. Thank you.
There are other Raleighs. Just want to make sure everybody's clear. It ain't Raleigh, South Dakota. This is Raleigh, North Carolina.
Are you sure there are other Raleighs?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
Then on the 13th, so we're going to be driving up the East Coast on the 12th. And then on the 13th, we're going to be in Stamford, Connecticut. Yay. At the Barnes & Noble up there at Mill Valley Road at 6:30. And that'll be on the 13th. Then I'm going to spend my weekend, my birthday weekend, my birthday is the 15th, with my two oldest kids up in Boston. One who lives.
Your birthday is November 15th.
Yes, it is.
So is mine.
Seriously.
Dead serious. Just a different year.
No kidding. We're twins. I didn't know that.
I was born in 1976 on November 15th.
I was born in 1952 on November 15th.
Rocking. Go Scorpio.
Part of our camaraderie, obviously. Yeah, and so my oldest son lives in Havid, Mass, and my oldest daughter works at Havid Business School. So we're going to have fun with their, between them, they've got six grandchildren, so that'll be a lot of fun.
My family lived in Methuen, Massachusetts for a while, Methuen.
Yeah. No, Matt's in Harvard and Lizzie is in Milton. Really sweet, sweet town, John Adams fame. Then we're winging our way to Chicago on the 16th, and then driving up to Madison, Wisconsin, and at the Apothecary. It's actually a drugstore, but they do book reviews at their at their drugstore on the 17th. I think 6 o'clock on the 17th. Then we're gonna zip down to Chicago and Barbara's bookstore on the 18th. Is hosting a book signing and speech or whatever. I don't know what I'm supposed to do, but I'll be
you're going to yap about copper.
Yap about copper. And That's so cool that you were born on the 15th. How did we not know that?
I don't know. But I was born on the 15th, just like you, buddy.
Okay. And then we were going to push out on the 19th, fly down to Little Rock, Arkansas. It's the hot spot of the nation. And
are you doing that book signing event at Bill Clinton's house? Is that where you're doing it? Yeah. Bill and Hillary, they invite you there? No?
No.
Somewhere else. Okay. Someone else's place.
McGee and Me Marketplace. It's north of Little Rock. And Logan Duvall, great, another citizen scientist.
Really I'm cool sure guy. Bill and Hillary will be there.
Tell yeah, them. Right. So that'll be on the 20th.
20th. Good.
10 to 1.
We're getting close to Thanksgiving here, Morley.
I know. Then we are going to drive to Dallas. It's like 5 hour drive, right?
I don't know.
And then four or five. We've got, on the 22nd, we have a bookstore, and I'm blanking. I'll get you the actual dates.
Please
and
do.
Locations. But a bookstore, and then we're going to be going to a country club after that. To do a hoedown at a country club. And then we're going to fly to Scottsdale.
Great.
Home of Jigsaw Health. And they have a coffee shop next door, Flyleaf. And I'm going to have a book signing there. Then we're going to fly to Sacramento and do a book signing in the Folsom area just after Thanksgiving. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you for letting me yammer about that.
No, that's exciting. Dr. Henry Ely lives out there in Phoenix, so he can come to Scottsdale event. I'm here in Dallas. Awesome. I'll come check out your Dallas event, and I hope everybody else will check out your events. Do you have an event schedule on your website where you're going to be?
Yeah, good. Absolutely. I'll make sure you have that link.
Good. All right, Morley, I'm very excited for you, buddy. And thank you for showing that that graph. I think most, as we learn new things, and are being reminded of things that were already known. You know, it just took a few decades for us to dig this up and be reminded. It's very exciting to see the potential in the human body as Mother Nature and as God has designed it.
What that graph represents is we can harness AI, but you have to know the right questions to ask.
Exactly.
That's the beauty of AI, but it's not for the faint of heart. You have to really work with it. So I appreciate being able to share that with your audience.
And congratulations with the additional research and the additional truths that just continue to build a firm confidence and foundation in belief that copper can be of benefit to the human body. And it is. It is required. You need it for energy. You need it for life. You need it for ATP. You need it for all kinds of stuff. Every cell in your body needs copper to actually create energy. It's like the copper top Duracell battery in the Matrix movie. All of life runs on copper, people. And the sun is even attracted to copper, and copper attracted to sunlight. Oh, that's amazing. I love it. Can't wait to learn more about it.
Get that reference, and I will toast you on the 15th.
That's awesome. Yep, that's gonna be exciting. How old will you be on the 15th?
How old do you think I will be?
Well, you said you were born, what, you're 52? What'd you say?
Yeah.
52? All right, so you will be 73. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
I will be 49 in a couple of weeks on November 15th, and I will toast you. I will be in Montana with the family. I will toast you.
Nice.
That'll be exciting. Okay.
Yeah. Now, will you be back in Dallas around the 21st?
Yeah, I fly back on the 16th, so I'll be here for the 22nd for your event.
Okay, that's great. Yep.
I look forward to it. You're awesome.
Very good.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And
you're very welcome. And give them your website again where they can find more about you and your network and your licensing and your educational material and courses and certifications.
rcp123.org. Go to the resources tab, look for the starter guide, look for the RCP community, look for the RCP Institute, look for the schedule for the book signing that I fumbled royally. It's a lot going on. And we've got an RCP conference coming up in Denver end of February. So we're looking forward to
that. That's very exciting. Yeah, let us know when that's getting closer. Maybe I'm coming to Denver and hang out and learn from the rest of you, whatever y'all doing. Okay. All right, Morley Robbins, this is a special edition of the Dr. Artist Show. I'm so excited about your new book. I can't wait to read the new research and the 292 footnotes you got there on research studies and references to back up everything you put in there. It's an incredible journey you've been on in your retirement. Go retirees. You know, I retired when I was 40. You retired at some point, and we're still working more than we ever have in our whole life.
It's just amazing. A word. It's not a state of being.
Yeah, no worries. Bring it on. I'm excited for you, man. And I look forward to seeing you in Dallas here, buddy. And I hope you guys all at home enjoyed this conversation. Go learn more about how to increase your energy and vitality, how to reverse the likelihood and risk of chronic illnesses and diseases, as you saw on that chart from the health benefits of ceruloplasmin. All right, buddy. Thank you very much, Morley. Have a great afternoon and evening. And those in North Carolina, we love you. And everywhere else on the planet, God's good. Life is good. I hope you guys are all having a great day. We will see you next week on the Dr. Artist Show. God bless.